Well, the text this morning is printed in your bulletin. It's going to be from the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. But if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to open your Bibles to that chapter. We're also going to be looking at a few other places, mainly that portion that just precedes chapter 19, that very last section of chapter 18. And as you're turning there, I would ask this question: when's the last time you've really studied this portion of Scripture? When's the last time we've heard a Sunday school lesson or a sermon preached on this? I think for most of us, we associate this story with about the 3 and 4 year olds in Sunday school. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. I think for all of us who have been in the church, that should remind us of those early days. But it is a very important lesson for all of us. The Anglican bishop in the 19th century, J.C. Ryle, declared that this is a passage that should be studied frequently by Christians. It's so important for us to grasp the great power of our God, who delights to save those who are lost. And so if you would give your attention once again to the reading of God's word, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back 4 times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Well, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So who was this man, Zacchaeus? What do we see here in the text? Well, there's some things that it tells us. It's helpful if we are to be familiar with our Bibles, because there are some other portions of Scripture that will help us to understand exactly who he was and perhaps what he was like. But the text says that he was a tax collector. Now, tax collectors weren't exactly the favorite people. In fact, the tax collectors were those groups of people who nobody liked. You see, Zacchaeus was an Israelite, but as you probably know, Israel had been conquered by the Roman Empire, and they were being occupied by Rome, and so he was serving the Romans. It was his job to make sure all the taxes were collected. And if you're familiar with stories of Nazi Germany, and as they went through Europe, there were those people who turned on their own countrymen because they were perhaps afraid, or for whatever the reason was, they were traitors. And so Zacchaeus was looked upon as a traitor. He was not liked by his own people. Zacchaeus was probably not liked by the Romans either, because the Romans were the conquerors, and he was part of the conquered. So he was merely fulfilling a service to them. But he wasn't just a tax collector. It says that he was the chief tax collector. Now, this is the only place in the Bible where we see this description of a chief tax collector. We know that tax collectors, as they would take some money, they would skim some off the top for themselves, which means Zacchaeus was probably doing this same thing to the other tax collectors. And so not only was he not liked by his countrymen, not only was he not cared for by the Romans, he probably wasn't even liked among his own tax-collecting brethren. He was probably a man that had very few friends, if any at all. He was probably very lonely. It says he was very rich. But what's the point? And what was it that changed with Zacchaeus? Something happened for him to be drawn to the Lord Jesus. And so we're going to be looking at some of those things this morning. What was it that the Lord was doing in the life of this chief tax collector? He was doing something that Jesus had said was very difficult. It's very difficult for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, he said it was not possible with men, but with God all things are possible. And so this morning, I want us to look at several things in this text that I hope will serve to remind us of the important parts of this story of Zacchaeus. And I'll just simply call them remembering the G's. And so the first G that we come to in this passage is this gathered crowd. So if you do have your Bibles, turn back to Luke chapter 18, and beginning in verse 35. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. So who was this man Zacchaeus? Well, he really wasn't unlike this blind beggar. They both had a great need. Actually, they both had this problem in that they couldn't see Jesus. Now, it was a little different. I mean, Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus because he was so short, and he couldn't see over the crowd. And because he wouldn't have been liked, I'm sure the crowd wasn't very inviting or friendly to allow him to come and see Jesus. But we see this beggar, and what did he do? He cried out, and he begged for mercy. And when Jesus healed him, what do we see there at the very end of the chapter? Verse 43, immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. And so this is so important for us to take notice of, because this same crowd in verse 1 of chapter 19, it says Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. And then it says that he was trying to see, but he was unable because of the crowd. So this crowd was still moving along with Jesus as Jesus was teaching as he was going. They had entered into the city of Jericho. And there was this buzz. There was a noise, but it was a joyful noise. There was this blind man who could now see. And he was glorifying God. And then all the people, all of the crowd, as they were hearing of this man, they too joined in praise. And so this noise, this of the crowd, it was a joyful noise. And it's something for us to take note of. I want to ask something of the children this morning, boys and girls, teenagers. I'm going to ask you something, and we're going to let your parents listen in, but I've got a question for you. When it comes time for us to sing, do you sing with a joyful noise? Do you want your voice to be heard? Children, do you want the Lord Jesus to smile when he hears you sing? I hope that is true, that you do. You know, that joyful noise, we really don't know, because the text doesn't say what was it that was at work in the heart of Zacchaeus. The Lord clearly was at work, but surely Zacchaeus heard that joyful noise of the crowd. And when somebody comes into this place to join in and worship, what if that person is a little bit like Zacchaeus? What if that person knows there's something wrong in his life and just wants to hear, who is this Jesus? And just what if, boys and girls, what if that person were to hear you singing to the Lord with a joyful noise? What could the Lord do with that? You know, the closing hymn that we will be singing this morning says that we long to see your churches full. It's a good prayer for us to ask of the Lord. And certainly, it's even more joyful when our churches are full. In our opening hymn this morning, what did we sing? It said, "All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration." And so this is something that we need to be doing. It's an encouragement, certainly, for one another. And certainly, it's what the Lord wants, because we come to bring praise to him. But you never know how the Lord might use your joyful noise to open the hearts of others. So the first thing that we see is a gathered crowd. But the second thing, the second G, if you will, is a grumbling crowd. And so this should serve as a warning. We'll pick up in verse 5. It says, "When Jesus came to this place, he looked up and he said, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down today, for today I must stay at your house.' And he hurried and he came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, 'He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.'" We need to pause and ask ourselves, do we ever have this kind of a heart? I mean, this was a crowd that was just making a joyful noise. This blind man, whose sight had been given to him, he was now rejoicing and glorifying God. This crowd was joining with him and praising God. This same crowd then began to grumble. And so we have to ask ourselves, is that ever possible with us? I don't think it's really a very difficult question for us to ask. Are there people that we just don't like? I think we all, if we're honest, have to admit that there are. And it might be someone who is politically very different from us. It may be someone who is just not very nice. It might be a boss or a coworker who makes your life miserable. Or it may be that neighbor who's always making a noise when you're trying to sleep. We have to admit that there are people that we just don't like. And what if somebody came in and joined in worship and there was a spirit of grumbling? And far be it, what if there was actual grumbling? It's a warning to us that we do not want to hinder what the Lord could be doing in the lives of people. Let me read this from John chapter 6. It's John chapter 6, verse 43. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day.' And in verse 47, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life.'" Jesus is saying, do not grumble. Don't let that be a characteristic of someone who is called by his name. So we see a gathered crowd, a grumbling crowd, and now the invited guest. Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Now this may sound a little bit unusual. Jesus is actually the one who initiates this conversation. He's the one that looks up to Zacchaeus and he says, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. Now, that doesn't really happen to us in our day and time, in our context. We don't have people that come and say, I want to stay with you. But Jesus is the one who is the initiator. God is always the one who initiates when it comes to his saving grace. And he is inviting Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus really is the one who is receiving the invitation. And what does Jesus say? He says, hurry. And what do we see that Zacchaeus did? It says, he hurried. Again, from that hymn that we sang at the beginning, all ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. There needs to be this urgency. Do not delay. Jesus said, come down. And what do we see that Zacchaeus did? He listened and obeyed, and it says he came down. And Jesus said, I must stay at your house. And what do we see that Zacchaeus did? It says that he received him. And it says he does so gladly. Yet another G. Gladly. Your text may say joyfully. They mean the same thing. But today is the day of salvation. This was the day of salvation for Zacchaeus. So what exactly did this invitation mean? Well, in our call to worship, we read that there's an invitation here for Zacchaeus to be redeemed from the hand of the adversary. The adversary certainly had had a grip on Zacchaeus. He was consumed by his wealth, but now all of a sudden the Lord was doing a mighty work in his life. And I think it's a question we need to ask ourselves. Is there something that we need saving from? Is there something in our life that has a grip on us? Is there a sin that we are struggling with, perhaps even feeling like we're losing the battle with? We've been redeemed from the hand of the adversary. This is an invitation for that deliverance. There's also an invitation not just for the here and now, but for the ever after. We sang in the Gloria Patri this morning, world without end. For all those who are found in Christ, they will live for all of eternity, world without end, with their Savior. And this invitation for Zacchaeus was that life everlasting, world without end. You know, Jesus says in Revelation, behold, I am making all things new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And Zacchaeus was being invited to the marriage banquet of the Lamb. Have you accepted this invitation to join in that wedding banquet of the Lamb? If you haven't, hurry. Today is the day of salvation. Come down from wherever you are and receive the Lord Jesus. And so Zacchaeus was invited to be a guest. He gladly received him. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. The response of Zacchaeus was one of gladness. It was one of joy. And that should be our response. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit." And so this joy that we see in the life of Zacchaeus, it was evidence of a true saving work that the Lord had done in his life. And so do you have that same joy in your life this morning that we see Zacchaeus expressing with great gladness to receive the Lord? And then we see a willingness to give. Zacchaeus said, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." Now, Zacchaeus, I'm sure, knew his Bible, and in Exodus 22, we find this law given to us, a restitution of theft, and it's up to four or five times. And so Zacchaeus, his heart was broken because he had done what he knew to be wrong. But that no longer mattered. He no longer wanted to hold on to those things. And so he wanted to make amends. He wanted to give back what really wasn't his in the first place. But is that something that we are willing to do? You know, I think sometimes we feel that all that we have, we don't really think of it as being, as belonging to someone else. We feel the ownership and the possession of that. But what do we know to be true? Our great God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All that we have is His. And so, are we willing to give of ourselves to the Lord? How might He use what we are willing to give? Certainly our money, but our time and our talents. Are we willing to give? So we see in this passage the gathered crowd, the grumbling crowd. We see that Zacchaeus is an invited guest. And as a guest, he receives him gladly. And we see a willingness to give. Finally, I want to bring our attention simply to this, that when souls are won to Christ, God gets the glory. God gets the glory. J.C. Ryle said this, and I will close with this. He said, "I grant you, true repentance is never too late. But I warn you, late repentance is seldom true. I grant you, one penitent thief was converted in his last hours, that no man might despair. But I warn you, only one was converted, that no man might presume." His point is, do not delay. Today is the day of salvation. John Newton, the hymn writer who wrote Amazing Grace, he was a man who knew great sin in his own personal life. He had been a slave trader and was won to Christ. And this is what he said. towards the end of his life, he said, "Although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." It was simple. A wee message for a wee man. Today is the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We do pray that you would work within all of us a contrite heart, that we might despise the sin that so easily entangles us, and that by your grace you would enable us to run the race with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so, Lord Jesus, we would ask that you would continue to do a mighty work in our lives. Father, conform us into the image of your Son. And for any who are here this morning, or for any who are listening, who do not know the Lord Jesus, we ask that you would draw them, and that you would save them, and that you would do this for your glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.